I'd like to, if you don't mind, some being an old, I guess, Pentecostal boy from Bakersfield, we kind of start off a little bit sometimes with kind of warm you up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Is that all right? Okay. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got a you and me brother in his hands. He's got a you and me sister in his hands. He's got a you and me brother in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got a everybody here in his hands. He's got a everybody here in his hands. He's got a everybody here in his hands. He's got the whole wide in his hands. Give God some praise. I always do that to loosen you up so that if the sermon is bad, at least you say the song was all right. I want to thank Pastor Gary for and my wonderful church family for inviting me back to share with you. It's been a while. And for those of you who are new here, you wonder, well, who is this old guy? When I first started with them, I was not an old guy. I was a relatively young guy. We've been together now close to 20 years. Some of us have been together longer than many marriages in California. You know, yeah. And I'm extremely happy and honored to be back here. I want to say that I had planned a specific type of sermon, and as God has it, as I listened, and I never end up preaching what I started out with. So whatever I write down, most of the time it ends up not what I'm using. That's because I make the mistake and say, God, lead me. And God leads me where he wants me to go. And I say, well, Father, you do this, I love you, but you get me in trouble sometime. Because you want me to speak the truth. And I want to do like some of my other preachers. I don't want to speak the truth. I want to speak what you'll hear. Because if I do that, then your donations and your gifts will be larger. Because if I speak the truth, sometime you get a little angry with me. And you'll be, everybody I looked in the Bible that spoke the truth, somehow they were imprisoned or assassinated. Good thing they had Jesus Christ on their side, because he said there's a reward when you suffer for me. Thank God there's a reward, because if you speak the truth, you're going to suffer. You just have to know that. In some way, you're going to have some problems if you speak the truth from Jesus Christ. So just accept that. That's how it's going to be. So nothing you can do about it. Now, but before we start, I wanted to let you know my beautiful wife is here. For some of you who are new, we go back, Community Bible, we go all the way back to Christian Outreach Appeal, which is on 3rd and Linden in downtown Long Beach. It served the homeless. It served those who just got out of prison. It served those who were suffering. And you would come and serve meals and join in the service and lift people that you didn't even know. And instead of you having your ministry over in Africa or in south of the border, you took it to the urban streets of a local city that had just as many suffering people. And they're still suffering. And then from there, we developed a relationship, and we went on. And at that time, Paul and those guys knew. I was just coming back to Christ myself. Because, see, I didn't fall on my knees and beg for mercy and come back to Jesus Christ until I was 55 years old. I started out as a little boy in Bakersfield. They said, someday, boy, you're going to be a preacher. I remember Reverend Green saying that. And I did everything I could from the age of 9 to make him out of a lie. I'm going to prove to him that I'm not going to be a preacher. So I tried to find everything in the world that I could do. But then you found out that after a while the world has a way of just beating you down. And even if you don't look beat down, you are beat down inside. And I felt dirty. And a shower wouldn't clean me. And I had to come back to Jesus Christ and to be washed by Jesus. And then I got hired. I'd retired from the community college system, and I went into the Christian Outreach Appeal, and here comes Community Bible Church. And during that period of time, I got ordained by Bishop Charles Blake. Started working with Bishop Stevens in San Diego, even though I was in Long Beach. And kind of the rest is history. During that period of time, I started the church, North Long Beach. The church, some of you may remember, when they walked inside, they thought they better grab their purse because I had mostly gang members, former gang members. And I worked there for 10 years, my wife and I. And you helped us start the Freedom School, which you've been supporting for inner city kids. We had the only one in California for a while. It's from the Children's Defense Fund out of D.C. It started in the Freedom Movement in the 60s when they were teaching people how to read and write so they could vote in the South. And they brought that same concept to the urban areas for our youngsters who are not reading and writing well either. And you have been a major supporter of that program all these years. And it's funny, you don't brag about it. This is a very humble church. Do many things and don't brag. Some churches, what you have done, you'd have had it on Channel 2, what you've done for us. And my wife is carried over, and we're even having another program for this new coming year. And she brought a couple little notices there for you if someone wants to come. Because you'd see what's happened. Some of our youngsters now are in college. And I haven't got to the sermon yet, but I want to let you know, since the time we met, my daughter and my son that were at home with me, Anthony, you recall, was, you didn't know Anthony, that's the second boy. He's more like his daddy. He's a problem boy. So he was in the Marines, and so he's home. He called me yesterday. He's back from Korea. He was a Desert Storm Marine, and he'd been in 5 various campaigns since that time, and we prayed, and God has brought that boy home. Finally, so things are going okay right now. I have 2 more grandchildren since I've met you two. They're girls. I'm not going to say anything, but I'd like to have a grandson. I'm just, I need somebody to shoot a jump shot with, but I'll be all right. But anyway, that kind of brings you up and to where you are with us now. And knowing that you're here has been a comfort to me, because you have been closer and more consistent and more loyal and giving to us than any church in Long Beach. Isn't that amazing? And I'm not proud to say that. I'm just saying what is. There's a spirit here that God has really touched. Now, I want to here's where I'm going to make you angry, because I'm going to talk today a little bit about the title, about what a true Christian is. That's the way I look at it. And the way I got it out of the Bible, and it's going to come primarily from Psalm 26. Yeah, and I can tell that you're one type of people that don't let preachers get up here and say nothing. I heard some Bible pages opening up. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Because we're going to have to quit letting people tell us just anything. We want the truth as God has said it. And that's how it has to be. But what got me to think about the walk of a true Christian, and before I get to that, I wanted to take you a little scholarship. Well, by the way, since the last time we met, I earned a PhD out at Claremont Graduate University. When I got it, when I walked across there, I was 72 years old at the time. Y'all bet me when I was young, and I was the oldest person on the whole podium, including the president of the college. And they almost wanted to give me a cane to walk through there. And during that period of time, the last 3 years, I turned the church over to Pastor Lagan, and I took over as a chaplain out at Claremont. And the reason why I did that is that they had never had a Pentecostal chaplain before. And they had never had an African-American chaplain before either. So they got two in one when they got me. And I was able to give a message that was not a feel-good message. And I wasn't going to be a chaplain that could say everything is okay. Because it's not. And you can't, I don't care what you tell me, there's certain things that the scriptures say you can't tell me that God has changed his mind on. And I wanted to give you just a couple of things that my scholarly research has said before I get into the sermon. It says here, I got this from the Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, written by Edward Gibbon. There's five reasons he said that the empire collapsed. And I want to say this because I believe as Christian people, you're going to have to step up and you're going to have to step out and help save our nation and save our communities. He said that the one thing that they noticed was there was an increase in divorce that undermined the institution of the family. In the African-American community, it's 71% divorce. How can you build if you can't start with the foundation that's family? It says here the imposition of higher taxes for bread and so forth was the second reason. And the drive for pleasure, sports becoming exciting and brutal. The people lost their faith was the fourth thing. But the most important was the fifth, the existence of an internal conspiracy working to undermine the government from within. And the time that the government was proclaiming that Rome's enemies were external. So the fall came from within. And you know, if you read the scripture, as they talked about our children in Book of Kings, the demise and the fall of the children of Israel came from within, from not without. And we have to be very conscious of that. And then one last thing, and I'll get to the sermon. I just want to mention, but here's something that's really kind of got to me. The Dusseldorf Rules for Revolution that was taken in World War I. Have you noticed World War I, I talk about Roman Empire. I don't say nothing current because I'm an old guy. Okay. So here's what he said, World War I, the Allied soldiers. Here's what they found. It said, you know, if you really want to do some things, it says, get control of all publicity, thereby getting people's mind off their government by focusing on attention on athletics, sexy books, and plays, and other trivialities. It says, corrupt the young, get them away from religion, get them interested in sex, make them superficial, destroy their ruggedness. Then he says, divide the people into hostile groups by constantly harping on controversial matters of no importance. How often do we do this? Destroy the people's faith in their natural leaders by holding the latter up in contempt ridicule, and disgrace. Always preach true democracy, but seize power as fast and ruthlessly as possible. Now, and I'm going to read something here that kind of get me, because I know that no one today's time is going to be current with this one. It says, cause the registration of all firearms with some pretext, with a view of confiscating them and leaving the population helpless. Now, this was after the First World War. Now, I got this in some of my reading, because I says, well, my goodness, if this is what's happening, then what are we doing? Because it looks like I'm reading yesterday's newspaper. And so I says, well, you know what we got to do? We, us Christians, have to begin to walk for Jesus. And so I took the scripture, Psalm 26, of which I'm going to get my talk. He says, about time he got to the sermon, isn't it? It's about time he got to it. But it says here, vindicate me, O Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind, for your love is ever before me. And I walk continuously in your truth. I do not sit with deceitful men. I do not consort with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. See, you see here, it is right for us to separate ourselves from those who are not walking in Christ. Sometimes, well, no, we have, no, and we can, I can talk with you about God, I still love you, but I can't sit with you and socialize with you, because we are at opposite ends of God's word. I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, O Lord, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. I love the house where you live. This is a beautiful house. O Lord, the place where your glory dwells. Do not take away my soul along with sinners, my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands are wicked schemes, whose right hands are full of bribes. But I lead a blameless life. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My feet stand on level ground. In the great assembly, I will praise the Lord. Oh boy, isn't that amazing? We have to purposefully, we have to make a point of being in the presence of people of like mind. Be in the presence of those who love God. Because if we're going to make the walk, we're going to have to stand up and be willing to admit that we are children of God and we love Jesus Christ, his son, and we believe his word. This is not just a book. This is the word of God, a living, walking document for our life. We have to believe that and stand for it. And if God said it's wrong, I don't care what Congress says. If God says that's not the way it's supposed to be, Governor, I'm sorry. I can't support it. I realize that I'll be ostracized. People will stop talking to me. I realize if I get too many people together in a group and we start walking for Jesus Christ and it becomes too many people, I could lose my life. But I'd be in a good crowd, wouldn't I? Because Jesus lost his life before he challenged the system. Paul lost his life. The 12 disciples lost their life. And the one who thought he could save his life, Judas, he gave up his life. Because to walk for Jesus Christ, there's a price to be paid. And so what? Because look at the reward. He promised me if I stand for him, he'll stand for me. And he said, if I stand for you at the right hand of God, if I speak for you and call you in, he said, you don't know what's going on now on earth, but I got an everlasting place for you. Where all you do is sing and praise the Father and you walk in glory and there's happiness, I don't joy, and there's no sadness. We never heard that word up there. There's no sadness. You know, in America, I have here the world needs Christian workers who are not afraid to stand up and speak for Jesus Christ. Community Bible is a unique place to me. Because you have a building that looks like the building that us country boys were raised with in Bakersfield and Wasco and near Tulare in the old days when you're picking cotton and when you had farms and people were spread out and you had a little building like this that everybody came together and built together in a space and it was a frame building. They had a little graveyard out in the back where the folks would bury the people that were there and looked like you tried to keep it that way. You try to keep it where if we come through here, there's no doubt this is a church. It is not an industrial park. It is not a former liquor store. It is a church, a house of God where God's people attend. Isn't that strange, urban America? And they have the nerve to love God and love Jesus Christ. How dare you? The means we have to be willing to champion and speak the truth and walk and understand that justice is just not for a few, it's for everyone. And justice is not just a one-way street. And we have to stop letting folk make us feel guilty because they say they're for social justice and then they add some other things to it that we have to accept the whole package. I'm saying, no, we don't. I hate to say it. I still believe, and the reason why I say this, because to be in a social justice group, they want me to say it's all right for Charles to marry Ralph. I can't say it. When Paul and I were pastoring the church, I've had some young men who I love dearly come to me and ask me, could I marry them? And I couldn't. I couldn't because Jesus Christ wouldn't let me. I love those two boys. But Jesus Christ wouldn't let me. Leon would have. But Leon, who works for Jesus, couldn't. He didn't give me the authority. He wouldn't authorize my decision. Whatever I said would have been null and void in the sight of God. Dedicated Christian workers are needed in everyday life to take charge of their communities. It will take courage. You see, you get names. They got names for you. They used to call you Holy Rollers. They used to call you all kinds of names. And they almost want to make you ashamed to call yourself a Pentecostal. They want to make you ashamed to say you believe in the Holy Scripture word for word. They want to make, so you have to stand and be willing to just stand for Jesus. That's why the song Stand Up for Jesus is such an important song. If you notice some of their early old songs, they almost sound like battle cries. I'm a soldier for the Lord. I'm willing to fight for Jesus. It didn't say I'm going to shoot anybody, but I'll tell you what, I got a weapon here that is stronger than any bomb you have. I got Jesus. And the old timers say, I got Jesus, and they say, then that's enough. Because the true deliverance of people have always come from Jesus, not from weapons, not from guns. What we reason why sometimes we bring weapons forth because we want to hurry up and do it. We don't want to wait on Jesus. That meant that church, we haven't been reading this scripture. Don't you remember what he did for the children of Israel? They didn't have to lift a weapon. All they had to do was follow instructions. Do you remember what he did for Gideon? Now, I got to admit there, I believe in Jesus. I've come back to Jesus, but I believe if I'm talking to God and say, God, he said, no, Leon, get rid of all those guys and just take the 300. I'm, Father, please, now, let's talk again. But what he did this to show, I am God. I can do anything. If you're my people, I will take care of you. I will take care of my people. And what he meant by that is not just take care of you, the generations that follow you, those behind you. He gives us a full responsibility. Excuse me, I'm a country preacher. I'm used to screaming out in the streets. I'm not used to this technology. So I'll put this back. But this is amazing for me because in the ghetto, you just holler out in the street. and that's old country preachers can howl. You can hear us for 2 or 3 miles down the street. Yeah, the future of our nation is depending upon us, Christian community. The bond of the Christian community, standing on the righteousness of God, is depending on us. The thing that we haven't done effectively is lock arms with other Christians of like mind. We have not come together. We've let language differences keep us apart. We let complexion differences keep us apart. But we haven't understood that to do what is right for God and to really have the nation come together like it should, we have to unite in Jesus Christ. And we have to be serious about it. Now, does this going to make everything happy? No. You're going to catch a lot of problems. Because, you see, you're going to cause people to go against their thought processes. You're going to cause some people to be a little bit discomforted. You're going to cause people. And so what I do is if I can't really explain it, I'll just give you a name. If you tell me that regardless of who you are, if you're not for Jesus Christ, I can't associate with you, then I will step back and say, you're a bigot. No, he's not a bigot. He's a Christian who wants to be around other Christians. The moment that you give yourself to Jesus Christ, you become his brother now. Don't just call names. Check your behavior and check the scripture. Well, don't stand in the pulpit and endorse that kind of behavior. Stand in the pulpit and endorse truth regardless of where you are, who you're speaking to. What happens today? Dr. King used to say Sunday is the most segregated time in the United States. And he meant that because everybody has their little groups. It's even worse than that now because now everybody wants to start their own church. So Sunday is a place where there's not a vacant storefront in America. Now, do you really think that Jesus Christ and his message was trying to encourage us to separate into small little storefronts? Or was Jesus' message saying, let's unite in the body of Christ. Let's come together in the holy temple and praise his name together. Let's come together and get on our knees and start praying and watch the earth shake. Because there's nothing more powerful than a collective body of God's people in prayer. It changes the direction of the wind. It moves illnesses. It changes the course of a disease. It changes all kinds of things when we collectively pray in the name of Jesus Christ. In Romans 6, verse 4, Paul tells us that if we become dead to sin, we will be reborn with a new and everlasting life in Christ. Our spirit of love and dedication will carry us through the difficult challenges that life presents right now. That's the message that we have to get out. Right now in Long Beach, I'm probably becoming somewhat unpopular, and so the only time I'll get a invited to preach at a church will probably be when you guys invite me periodically, because they don't want to hear what I have to say. Because I'm saying in the pulpit, we have to stand for what Jesus stood for. We have to stand. I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm saying we got to build up those who have gone through some problems, but we got to stand for the fact that we can't continue having children and not have the bond of marriage. You can't continue having a society that is going to be a successful society if young men and young girls come up without a connected family, because they learn something precious from each of them. And there's something missing when one is missing. God knew what he was talking about. Would God have made a peach without a tree? We just got to think about this. Well, we can't just continue to be tolerant because we don't want to offend. We need to build up those who are going through the problems, but we need to stand for what's right for the future. My wife yesterday came home, and she was very sad because there's one of the ladies, and I think you've met this family, but they have not progressed much better. And the mother, now that the daughter that you met, when the little girl, now the girl has two children, not married, living with her mother. The mother has two sons back living with the mother. They have a dysfunctional house. Nobody's happy. The mother just cries. This is what happens when we're out of sync with the scripture that God has taught us how a family is supposed to be. God identified the family for us. And through Proverbs and other books in the Bible, tells us how the family is supposed to conduct themselves. I got a call from a Sister Ortiz. She calls me, and she brought her son to me. I was teaching a Sunday school class and brought her son to me so we could talk. And just so happens that day I was teaching in the Bible about how you're supposed to listen to your father but also listen to your mother. And he said, I didn't know that. He apologized to his mother. 15-year-old boy. Because the Bible tells us how we're supposed to conduct ourselves in a family. So if we're going to preach from the pulpit, we got to talk about family. Then we talk about community responsibility. We're responsible. Down to throwing something out on the street, out of the window of a car. It is wrong. And we can't overlook it. We must preach it. In 2 Corinthians verse 7, Paul states that we must learn to walk by faith and not by sight. I have faith in the people. There's a body of people in this nation I have faith in. What you're seeing, though, it looks like the body is getting smaller. But if you understand God, God will take a small group of people and do a great work. It only takes a few of us, but a great work can come out of that. And change can happen. There's a reason why you're still here. Because Huntington Beach, Long Beach, Orange County, they need a community Bible church. They need more community Bible churches. We just have to sometime maybe step up and make ourselves known a little bit more. But the reason why I say a walk of a Christian, because if you do that, you're going to have more doors slammed in your face than opened. But the doors that open, by God, change will start. And I love to see the young people that you have here, because that's the generation that may make the change, because you're planting the seed. What does it say in Genesis? When he started, there's a body of, then a little water. Oh, then some land over here. And then a few living things, but then on the land, some trees and things, and then some cattle, and then us. Now, if Leon would have done it, I probably would have made us first and we'd have drowned. I'd have forgot you need land. But God knows what's to be done. He knows everything, and God has designed it for us, and we need to do it in the name of Jesus. Today, God has placed in my heart to speak about society's needs. I'm going to continue as long as I can to talk about and try to get the church leadership to begin to take charge, to move back up into its rightful place in the American spirit and American society. We took this church and state, there would be no America without the church. I don't care what they said about it. Without the church, there'd have been no continuous of America. There would be no school system. The first book in the school system was the Holy Bible. And now we're not teaching. You can have every religious book in the world in school, but you can't have the Holy Bible. You know why? Satan knows how powerful it is. That's another thing I have to admit. I believe that Satan is alive. I believe that Satan really exists. People said, no, there's, I think even one of my buddies that are back in Oklahoma, he said, no, everybody's going to go to heaven. There really is no Satan. I say, well, if there's no Satan, how do you say there's a God? And then they sort of stammer a little bit, and then they change the subject. But Satan is trying to keep us divided. And to keep us confused so that we don't understand the power that we really have. We have power. And the leadership has to come from the church, not from your political leaders. Politicians are representatives, they're not leaders. Christian, church folk are leaders. A leader has to be willing to be ostracized, jailed, and even killed. I haven't heard a politician yet say, well, I'll do that. A leader doesn't try to please everybody. A leader pleases God. A leader takes responsibility to lead people to God. And when a leader gives his word to a people, whether or not that word is endorsed by everybody else. If it's the word that comes from God, the leader stands with that word. That's going to come from God's people. It's going to come from men and women. And we have to do it today. We have to make a commitment today that we're going to stand for Jesus, that we're going to walk for Christ. We have to make a pact with each other. Ah, there he goes again. I'm going to ask you, as I begin to go, I want to ask you, if you don't mind, we're a little bit far away from each other. Now, see, this happens at church all the time. I did take a shower. I do use deodorant. I don't know why no one wants to sit close to me when I'm in front. And look how we're sitting. Now, would you please stand with me a minute, and would you hold the hand of somebody so we can connect the church? That's all I want to do. Just connect the church. Now, if you could imagine God's community connected in the Holy Spirit, caring about one another, loving one another, giving themselves to one another and to the Holy Scripture, righteousness, being committed to family and the growth and development of our children so they'll understand what is right and righteous as they grow up, committed to the fact that a man and a woman should be married before they have a child, and that child should come up in the bond of marriage and love, taught through the Bible of Jesus Christ. Could you imagine what we could do in the world if we walk through the world holding hands, believing? That's right. We need a revival. We need a revival. I can't bring back Billy Sunday. No. Well, I wished I could. You know, through Billy Sunday, that's how you got Billy Graham. Billy Graham. Nobody knows that. Because even Billy Sunday didn't know it. Because they went through somebody else to get to Billy Graham. But that's what happens. Maybe through our good caring and our love and the way we carry ourselves, the commitment that we have, maybe that we begin to touch someone that we don't even know we touched, and that person rises and starts standing for Jesus Christ and turns this mess that we're living in around. Yeah. We need to do this. And we have to speak out. I can't watch certain things anymore on television. I won't listen to certain things anymore. I won't associate with certain kind of behavior anymore. And I'm not going to let you speak to me against my brother. And my brother doesn't have to love me for me to love my brother. I'm not required to receive his love. I'm required to give my love. Yes. Did you know that? That's what Jesus did. Please bow your heads with me. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that the bond that we have right now, the holding of the hands, Father, that you're seeing, bring the Holy Spirit down upon this group. Touch their hearts and their spirit. You know what each and every one of these people need to move themselves up, out, and to activate themselves in the name of Jesus. You know how far they should go. You know exactly what their capacities are, Father. We're asking that you use them right now. And if there's any fear here, Father, take the fear away. Give us the courage, the joy of serving. Let us walk into battle with a smile on our face and a Bible in our hands, praising God's name. And Father, I know your will be done. We can save this place. This nation. It's the best thing we got right now, Father. It's the closest thing we got to what we can do in, as far as peace, Father. But don't let us pull away. Don't let people break us up. Don't let them tear us apart. Unite us through Jesus Christ. And Father, we're going to serve you. We pledge to serve you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I really thank you. You know, as they get ready to bless us with music, that's the other thing. You have been blessed with wonderful music, and then if you read, that sort of does something to the spirit. And some people don't believe that music has a place. If music didn't have a place, God would not have created it. You need to understand that. Because there's sometimes that only the song can get to the spirit. Sometimes words can't do it. It's the song. I don't know why. I'm not that sharp, but there's something about it. And while they're singing, if someone here does not belong to this church, maybe you all do, but want to come to Christ, and maybe only be here one day, maybe you live in Florida, but you want to be connected before you leave, don't leave this place not connected with Jesus Christ. This is the time to do it. Now that's an old Pentecostal. You don't let them get out the building once you got them in. some of the old African American churches, they put a big football player back in the exit side. You can't leave right now. But this is the time. You want to come and unite with your people here. And the other thing before we leave today and after service, if we need some prayer together, if we have any challenges, don't let us get away without praying together. But whatever the challenge is, you don't even have to tell me what it is. Tell that to Jesus. All we got to do is pray that whatever it is, Jesus handle it. So let's do that for me today. Is anybody here while they're singing that would like to come that is not a member of the church? Or is there a person that hadn't been here in 2 years and wants to come back? Just come down, please, and join the family again.